Okay, namaste and welcome. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I've been seriously looking at changing some of the dynamics of the path that's given here. Simply for the fact that there are quite a few people that have a difficulty with the Hindu symbology. So I'm looking at moving it more into a Zen and Tao type of a dynamic, so people are not going to get so caught up you know, on mantra and some of the other things. So I'd like to get some feedback from people that are coming as to this, because we want to make it, you know, as easy for people coming as possible, especially people that are coming that are in the midst of Kundalini and they're really unsettled to begin with, you know. So in either way, it takes you to the same end, whether you do it more from the Zen perspective of more focusing on just being in the now and releasing and letting go, or whether you do it through more of the path of doing some more of the mantras and things, it doesn't matter. It's basically the same thing. It's just the externalized look of it is different. So, if anybody has any feedback on that, yes. We need the microphone, Steve.
I was talking to my roommate, Bob, and for some reason he started to say, like, well, the Tao is a more sophisticated, or, I don't know, he said, thought, like, Hindu was, like, kind of too backwoodsy or something compared to the Tao was, you know.
That's an intellectual. He's looking at it intellectually. Because, you know, a lot of people, they don't know really what's the basis of it. They think that, you know, if you're using the symbology of these things, that you're, you know, making it external, more external, and then that's really not the case. For people that have been here long enough, they know that's not what the case is. So, you know, really, whether you go the road of Zen or Tao, or you go the path of the Hindu, doesn't matter. Because all of these things are just the symbology of it anyway. You know, it's not, you know, but people get caught up, and if they see the altar and things sitting there, they think, oh, yeah, you have to come here, and you're doing rituals and pujas, and you're doing all of that, which really is not what's happening here. So I just want to bring this into a little bit more of an expanded thing, so more people can understand it. It's still the same direction. Same direction, same thing that's been given, same thing that's being given. You know, there's no difference in it whatsoever. And those that are taking sannyas, that are, you know, dedicated to the path, it's still the same thing, you know. Really not a change. But I just don't want people coming in and they see Kali and they see, you know, these things and they start freaking out because they don't understand it, and it takes quite a while for them to come to understanding what it is. So, does anybody else have any comments on that? Nope. Good deal. So, let's begin. How does one deal with fantasies? By understanding that they are fantasies. Okay. The main thing in this path is to just start to relax and stay one-pointed. And as you do that, then your awareness starts to expand and the mind starts to still. When you're off chasing fantasies, you know, it's still motion. It's still you know, what is it going to get you? You know, what is it going to get you? So we want to really start to come into a more expanded state, but being present. This is another reason I'm looking at going more into the Zen type of a dynamic, because part of this path is also doing the one thing at a time. Whatever motion, whatever you're involved in, can be an active meditation. Okay, it can take you to stillness. If you're doing activity right, it can take you to stillness. Okay. So I want people to understand this. It's, you know, it's not about chasing deities. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about learning how to use this in your daily life. And I've said this over and over again. Think Zen. Think tea ceremony. Just the simple act of having tea, making tea, becomes a meditative practice. To get as much as you can out of the moment. Just to sit and be still. Look out the window. Look at a tree. Don't think about it. Just sit and be still and watch. Let go of the mental stuff about it. And you'll find that you start to have a stilling take place and an expansion takes place. And that when the barriers and all the thoughts about it end, then you feel almost a start of a connection takes place. And just the fluttering of the leaves in the wind can cause you to feel a bliss arise in yourself. You feel the motion inside yourself or the sound. It's like in the old place where we were at. It would be noisy there all the time, cars continually going by. But to me, it was like ocean waves almost, and the sound of the car would resonate in my being as it would go by, and it would feel as a vibration. It would just feel as a joy. So it wasn't a hindrance. So it doesn't matter whether you're in a place that's got sound or whether it's silence. You don't need to have necessarily so much silence for meditation because, again, you're putting constrictions on it. Okay. In the end, when you finally get to realization, you find out that whenever sound rises, it rises in silence. There is no separation any longer between sound and silence or movement versus stillness. If you do movement the correct way, you're taking the stillness. Okay, so it's not a separation any longer. This is why we call it entering a zero-point balance. It's balance, no matter whether there's activity or there's not. Okay, there's a flow that happens, but it's centered. A centered flow, we'll say that. Okay. Can you explain the proper way to serve Kali? It's not about serving Kali. It's about understanding that basically Kali is nature. It's whatever comes in your life. Those difficulties that come, things that appear to be difficulties, but actually they're opportunities for growth. Okay? So it's not about serving deities or serving, making something external to yourself at all. Okay? It's about understanding the path. About how to relate to life. Everything that you encounter in life can be for your benefit when we let go of this striving and pushing against it, and we can just see it as flow. Okay, whatever happens is transient. When difficult times come, it's transient. Don't get caught up in it so much. Okay. Is there such a thing as Atman, incarnation, and what is it? Are you speaking of a self incarnation? Called a self-incarnation with the an opportunity incarnation. Well, Atman incarnation or self-incarnation is kind of a misnomer again, because that makes it about when you speak about self with big S, really there's no personality or personal self attached to that. Okay. This is what's so difficult to understand. That when you get to self-realization and you look inside, there's nothing really you can attach to as a persona. There's nothing any longer held in place. And it doesn't mean that anything is really lost. Because, yes, the world is going to see personality. The world is going to, you know, and it's a vast miracle, you know, that happens. But there's a great freeing that takes place. Because this divine essence that all are is just infinite potential. Absolute, infinite, pure potential that's never stained by any of the happenings in the world. Okay. It's a great mystery as to how does this world come about. But But for whatever reason, something starts motion. You have that still center of absolute, and something starts a motion in place. Like the yantra, you see this still point, that dot in the center, that's absolute. And then something starts in motion, so Shakti is in play. And so from this Shakti and these things we encounter, patterns are formed. Okay? And creation can be infinite. Infinite. Okay? So from that point, once things settle, you enter into this great mystery. And it always remains this great mystery. And it's beautiful, you know, because it's endless varieties that can keep coming out in this transient realm. But you know that that center remains always, forever the same. Pure, unchanging is. And the play, transient, keeps going. The fragrance of life keeps going. And you just sit there and look at the mystery of it and just go, you know. Can't be understood intellectually. But once that experience has taken place and the mind stills and one enters into the flow of life, then all of the drudgery of it ends. Okay, then you enter the mystery of it. It will be wonderful to come to the day when all mankind has awakened to this, and then there will be no more need for wars and for these other things to take place. Because you find out, you know, what do you need to try to cling to? What do you need to try to possess? There no longer will be a need to possess anything or to feel lack or to try to put one religion above another or whatever. It's all become, at that point, will be a celebration. Because people will know, at that point, there's one divine essence. And all of these different factions are just different ways to celebrate it. So what is there to fight about? This fighting and this other stuff comes out of a feeling of lack, unhappiness within their lives. Okay? So once you are centered and within yourself, okay, then this feeling of lack falls away. When you're peaceful within yourself, then that can start to manifest outwardly. Okay, so that's what this path is about. Coming to a centeredness within yourself, finding out what you're not, all the illusions you've held that you've thought you're what you are, that have caused your bondage and your suffering, your unhappiness. This path is about finding a way to enter into that center, to find the celebration of life, okay, to find the joy of life, to find the beauty of life that's present every moment. And when it's not present, it's because we're pushing it away. This is why we say when you surrender, the grace appears, because it has to. Because your nature really is perfection on the inside. Imperfection is a coating. Let's get ready to take that off. Okay. What does holiness mean? And what purpose does it serve for enlightenment? Holiness is something that's really kind of, you say God's nature is holy, or it's something that's set apart. It's always, again, that purity. When you go within, you've reached that center, you know, that holy. That's why I say, you know, go into the heart, go into the temple of yourself, you know, find that holy place. Okay. Why Moses, when he was there, he said, take off your shoes, whereon you stand is holy ground. You, whenever you're in that presence, and we're always in that presence, you really can't get away from it. Okay. If we turn our minds into seeing the sacred, then life becomes holy, pure. Okay? It's a change in awareness. Okay? It's always available, always present. What happens? You go to temples or you go to churches. Why? Because you've created that and see it as a holy place. Well, God isn't more in one place than he is another. Any place you are can be a holy place if your mind is set like that. Is there anything more holy and more beautiful than nature? What defines a man-made structure as being holy? Okay. God's not going to suffer if all the churches in the world fall down at once. So this idea of holiness being, you know, confined to either structure, personages, or whatever is nonsense. Every moment of the day can be holy if our mindset is there. Okay? Everything can be a sacrament if your mindset is there. Everything can be an offering to God if your mindset is there. Every action can be an act of worship if your mindset is there. Okay. So let's come to a point where we drop this separation as to seeing it as a time and place defined or a personage defined. Let's let go of those boundaries and find it here now. Okay. How can one know if everything that can and should be done for enlightenment is being done? Just do the best you can do. Live your highest truth. Become transparent. Let go and don't push it away. Enlightenment is nothing but coming to the point of your natural state. Okay? That's all. Everyone has the potential for enlightenment because it's your natural state. If you're miserable and suffering, that's not your natural state. That's a state of mind. Okay? Of wanting something you don't have, or, you know, manufacturing all this other nonsense that covers it up and pushes it away. Really, realization and enlightenment is so simplistic. So simple. It's like when you finally get there, that's exactly what you find. It's so simple, so apparent. It's like, why didn't I see it? You know? Why didn't I see it? It's so simple. It's just flow. When you let go of, you know, the worry and the structure and this and that that separates you from it, you find out it's always been there. So this is why this path of allowing the mind to still. Do one thing at a time. Get rid of the complexity. The more complicated it is, the more you're trying to understand it, the further you put yourself away from it. This isn't like a college course. You can't study your way there. I don't care how much you can talk about it, that's not it. This is one of the great problems. People want to read endless, endless books on it and think that if I can talk about it, then I know it. But I say if you're still suffering, you don't know it because it would be impossible. To continue in that. Okay. When you come to that point, it's really impossible to hold these structures of religion in place, of the dogmas and the ritual and all of that stuff. You can no longer speak bad about another religion because you see that all of them are trying to point to the same place. There's one God, there's one. Doesn't mean that each religion has a different one. It means that there's only one. Okay? So this divisionary stuff ends as far as it being a barrier. Then you see the divisionary stuff is a celebration, just different fragrances, different colors. Okay. All trying to point to the one light beyond all lights. Okay. So we need to come to a point in the world of seeing it, you know, all of these other, you know, religious overtones, whatever, as just different flavors. Enjoy it. Okay, it's a smorgasbord. Yeah. Not everyone's going to like the same salad or, you know, doesn't mean that one's better than another. It's just different. So enjoy the difference. No? That's why one time you'll come and maybe I'll talk a little bit more on the Christian side, you know, from that modality, or one time from the Buddhist, or one time from the Hindu, or one from... Doesn't mean one's better than another. They all have their place, all have their value, all have their beauty. Okay. That's why it's so difficult here. You know, people will ask, well, are you Hindu? Are you this? Are you that? You know? I could say, yes, I'm Christian. Yes, I'm Hindu. Yes, I'm Buddhist. Yes. Or I'm none of the above. You know? Because there's one truth that runs like a thread through all of them. Okay. We are that truth. That's all. Quit trying to slice and dice it and contain it into one thing. Why limit it? There's so much richness in all of them. Better to enjoy the banquet. What was meant by Christ at the Last Supper? When he was saying, this is my body. I think what he was pointing to, because he took the bread and broke it and passed it, and this is my body. Okay. Do this in remembrance of me. What is bread? It's what we eat to sustain our life. So remember that everything I'm giving you is for your life. Okay? Okay. Same thing. Drank the wine. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay. This was my life. My life has been a testament as to the path. He always spoke of liberation. Okay. Take communion in remembrance of me, this life, this pointing, this path. What I have done, you can do, and even more. Okay. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father that sent me. Okay. He was an example as to what enlightened life is like. Unconditioned. Okay. He tried to teach people that there is no death. Okay. Fear not. Have no fear. There's nothing to fear. Most of his words were towards a liberated life. He said also, I've not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. In other words, karma is in place just by the very nature of God. When you have infinite perfection, and that's the core of being, then these laws are in place. Okay. But against any of the laws, if you are in love, okay, if you're in love, then you're not going to offend any of the laws. So come to love. Okay. What is judged? The hearts and the minds. Okay. God judges the hearts and minds. God is within yourself. You can't get away from it. Okay. Doesn't mean that it's something up here sitting there with a rod in hand and gonna whack you. It's not it. When that divine presence is the essence of your being, how can you get away from it? You can try to fool others, you can try to fool yourself, but it's not going to last for very long. Because who and what you are at the core of being is that seed, essence of that divine self. Without that, there would be no life. It's the life of all life and the death of all death in the end. Okay. So, turn your life around. Really, people are so much more than they know. Why is it you can do anything if you believe in it? Because you're that infinite potential. Okay. Get the mind out of the way. Get the constriction out of the way. Get the separation out of the way. Go inside and find what you are. Go inside. Because it's always present. Okay. This is the path of getting rid of the things that are covering that over, that make you feel separate. Because if you're looking for God out there, you're not going to find it. Okay. This is why every pointing in every religion is to go within. Okay. Go within. Be still. If it wasn't within, if that divine essence wasn't there, it wouldn't do you any good to go within, would it? Christ never said, look out there. God's out there, so go chase it. No, go within. Okay. If you have that mindset, wherever you're standing is holy ground. You're a living temple. Okay. So let's start opening to find that truth. Okay. And so that concludes what we had in our satsang bowl today. So I think what we will do today is if we, I don't know, do we have enough? Maybe have some chai, have some tea. And if we go ahead and somebody wants to help to make some of the tea, we can bring it in here. And we're going to just enjoy the tea. Okay, namaste. Thank you.